You know Rudolph and Frosty and Charlie with his tree. Santa the Grinch and Christmas carols aplenty. But do you remember less famous specials from past Decembers? Small One, the Little Donkey, who was rather weak and thin. Arnold, who just wants to find the perfect gift for Mr. Wynn. And then there's Boo the Troll Prince, wondering just what Christmas is. These are forgotten specials that you just might have missed. Then three chilly winter days, they ended up on Tune My Heart. This podcast about faith and animation decided to make them the stars. Will all the listeners love them? We will have to wait and see if these forgotten specials will get to play on your TVs.
Merry Christmas and welcome to another episode of Tune My Heart, where we look at animated films through a Christian lens in search of faith-relevant themes and traces of eternal truth. If you're a longtime listener, you probably noticed that that was a very different intro than usual. And that's because we're celebrating the Christmas season with three special episodes about, well, specials. Christmas specials, that is. But while I, of course, enjoy the specials that we all know and love and watch year after year, I thought it would be fun to take a look at some lesser-known animated Christmas specials. So I reached out to three of my favorite former guests, and I think we came up with a very interesting trio of Christmas specials to take a closer look at. And hopefully, whether there are specials that you remember fondly or ones that you've never even heard of, you'll enjoy learning about how they resonate with the Christian faith and help remind us of what we believe. So put on your Christmas PJs, grab a cup of hot cocoa, and let's get animated about our faith. My guest for this episode is another returning guest, Kevin T. Rodriguez, also known as iCritic. And you can find his written reviews and articles on www.icritic.net. And he's also got a couple of YouTube channels, I believe. Is that right, Kevin?
Yep. And the podcast, iCritic Live.
So definitely check those out. We'll make sure to link to them in the show notes as always. And you might remember Kevin from the Show Tune My Heart episode on God Help the Outcast from Hunchback of Notre Dame, which was a great discussion. Definitely check that out. But today, of course, we are talking about Christmas specials and specifically lesser known or forgotten Christmas specials. So not your Frosties and Rudolphs and Charlie Browns and Grinches, but Christmas specials that you may not have heard of or I may not have heard of, which is the case here. So one of our episodes is going to be on a special that I grew up with and the guest grew up watching. One is going to be a special that I grew up with, but my guest had not seen before. And this episode is going to be on a Christmas special that I had never seen before, but Kevin suggested. And I'm glad that he did because after watching it, I really enjoyed it and I think it's a great choice.
Oh, thank you. Although for the record, I actually did not watch this show until I was an adult, which I actually think goes to show just how good it actually is.
Yeah, I was really impressed with it. So I guess we should say what it is. It's a special derived from the Hey Arnold TV show from Nickelodeon, which premiered on Nick back in 1996, I believe it was.
You know, I didn't watch it when it first aired, but that sounds about right.
Yeah. I didn't watch it when it aired either. I grew up on that first generation of Nicktoons, like the Rugrats and Doug.
Yeah, and Ren and Stimpy.
Ren and Stimpy.
If your parents let you watch it.
Yeah, I don't know if we should admit that on the Christian podcast, but yeah. And Hey Arnold was kind of that next generation of Nicktoons, I think. And I was maybe getting a little old for Nickelodeon by that point. So I was aware of it, but didn't ever really watch it. But Kevin, you've watched all of the episodes, I assume?
Yeah, ironically, I didn't watch it when it was airing on TV. I remember seeing the Hey Arnold movie in theaters and not being very impressed with it. Mm. But then years later, I don't know what it was. It was there. I figured I'd watch the show. And the show ended up being way better than it probably should have been. And the Christmas special was one of, I would say, the top 10 highlights. That's a great example of like taking something that could be very conventional and doing something much deeper with it than you're initially led on to believe. In fact, I decided to rewatch it just as a refresher, and I almost had to laugh because, boy, the first 4 or 5 minutes almost goes out of its way to be as predictable and conventional as possible, to the point where it's like, boy, if I didn't know it was coming, I'd be thinking, why did I recommend this?
Yeah. Well, it's funny because you found an old ad on YouTube where they were advertising this as a Christmas special on Nickelodeon. And the ad comes across as very surface level Christmas special. Arnold needs to find a gift for someone, and Helga wants to find a gift for Arnold. What will happen in these zany hijinks?
I have to give them credit. They did a very good job of saying what this was about while hiding what it was actually about.
Yes, exactly. They buried the lead, very much so. So since you've seen all of the show, can you just give us kind of a quick overview of what is Hey Arnold, the series, all about?
Hey Arnold, the series is probably the best adult drama disguised as a kids' TV show ever. It's about kids and their families who are, for the most part, not rich. They live kind of in, not the slums, but the downtown area. They're poor, and all the life lessons that they learn. Now, that's, on the surface, that's a very generic thing. But what was always clever about the show was how it would deal with some real world implications, sometimes in plain sight, like the one that gets kind of poked fun at for being funny and clever at the same time is that alcoholism is dealt with one of the parents who's always drunk off smoothies. So it's like, it's funny that that's how they hit it, but it's also showing the real effects of how that hurts the family at the same time.
Dealing with a serious subject, but in a way that's maybe easier for kids to digest.
Yeah, and it's probably notable for all the characters, how they're not as one-dimensional as they would seem. They do have growth, and there's complications and why they are the way they are. The bully is not just simply a bully. The bully has real trauma that needs to be dealt with at some point. The irony is that Arnold himself is probably the least interesting character in the show, because he's kind of the straight man in the moral compass. I guess it's kind of like Oliver Twist, where it's like, yeah, he's the main character, but it's everyone else that you really talk about, because Oliver's kind of boring.
Okay. Well, I fell in love with Arnold in this episode, but I see what you mean.
Yeah. Oh, no, he's very light. I mean, a film critic probably summarized it best. Arnold is likable but bland.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, yeah, it's really Gerald and Phoebe, especially Helga, who at one point was considered to have a spinoff show. That would have, I think, been a great show.
Right.
Because she's by far the most complex character in this thing.
So obviously our main character is Arnold. Helga is kind of a bully character, but she also secretly has a crush on Arnold.
Yeah, her story takes some very interesting developments in season 2, 3, and especially 4. Like, she's kind of the bully I was alluding to, where she's way more complex than you would realize in the first season.
Right. And then, so Arnold lives with his grandparents in kind of like a boarding house. So there's multiple other adults living there. Is that right?
Yeah, although it's kind of suggested his grandparents own the boarding house.
Right, yeah.
Which is probably why Arnold gets the room at the top of the building with the window for the ceiling, which I think that would be cool to have a room like that. Yeah. That's luxury in New York. If this is in New York, I forgot if it was New York or Chicago, but it looked like New York.
From what I read, Craig Bartlett, who was the creator of the series, based it a lot on Seattle because that's where he grew up, but also with elements of New York and Chicago and other big cities. So it's kind of an amalgam, but Seattle was his main inspiration.
Now I can see that. Okay.
I would have thought New York too, personally.
Yeah.
So, like I just said, Craig Bartlett was the creator of Hey Arnold, and he actually created the character of Arnold originally in some claymation shorts that appeared in the Pee-wee's Playhouse show. So that's a blast from the past.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, like, the character designs really didn't change that much.
Yeah.
They pretty much almost exactly the same.
I was surprised to see not just Arnold, but Helga and the other kind of bully character and some others. But the interesting thing is the very first short with Arnold, that claymation short, is called Arnold Escapes from Church. And so it shows Arnold sitting in church with some adults. Maybe it's his parents, maybe it's his grandparents, but he's sitting in church and the congregation is reading through Psalm 23 together. And you kind of see what's going on in his head as Psalm 23 is being read. So he's picturing walking through the valley of the shadow of death and being led beside the still waters and things like that. So that's kind of cool. From what I understand, we don't really get any hint to Arnold having any particular religion in the TV series on Nickelodeon itself, but if those shorts are considered canon?
You know, the show doesn't hint at his religion much, but he's gotta at the very least be Catholic because he and his grandparents are such straight arrows that you feel like they're probably following some sort of doctrine, whereas most of the other kids seem to have less stability, if you will.
Yeah. So I just thought that was an interesting little detail when I was watching those shorts. Also, some Arnold comic strips appeared in the Simpsons Illustrated magazine in 1991.
Oh, yeah, because Greg used to be married to one of Matt Groening's sisters.
Correct, yes. So Arnold goes back quite a few years before the Nickelodeon TV series.
Yeah. And by the way, folks, this is like a good example of why you don't give up after the first try. Sometimes it takes years of these small victories to actually get the show.
Yeah. And so Bartlett later joined the Rugrats staff as a story editor. And then he and I think they said five other writers teamed up and were trying to develop and pitch new animated shows to the Nickelodeon execs. And the one that finally sparked some interest was a show about Arnold. And so they got that greenlit, and so they were developing the character some more. And this was a quote from him about Arnold. "We did a lot of talking about who Arnold is. We came up with a reluctant hero who keeps finding himself responsible for solving something, making the right choices, doing the right thing." And I think we definitely see that in this episode of the show, this Christmas special.
We definitely see elements of it, even though we'll talk about this, we want to say it for later, but he's not the ultimate hero of the episode, even though he makes a very strong attempt.
Yeah. So Arnold's Christmas, as the episode is titled now, although I think in that ad from Nickelodeon, it had a slightly different title.
They called it the Hey Arnold Christmas Special.
Right, yeah. Arnold's Christmas was the idea of Steve Vixton, who was one of the show's writers and also one of the voice actors. And he wanted to explore the backstory of one of the residents of the boarding house that Arnold's grandparents run. And that was a Vietnamese refugee named Mr. Nguyen. And the voice actor for Mr. Nguyen, and I'm going to butcher his first name, so I apologize, Bowen Coleman.
Sounds close enough to me.
Any idea? B-A-O-A-N Coleman.
Yeah, let me look at that. Bowen Coleman.
Bowen?
Yeah, I believe that's how it's pronounced. If we got that name wrong, though, people feel free to politely tell us what it is.
Yes, and we apologize to Mr. Coleman. So he was actually a Vietnamese refugee himself, and they consulted him a lot on this episode to get the, you know, historical accuracy of what it was actually like to be in Vietnam during the war and to be trying to get out of the country as well. So the episode got about halfway through production, and then the executives at Nickelodeon I don't know why they didn't do it before they did all that work on it, but they realized what it was all about and they wanted to shut it down because they felt like the subject matter of the Vietnam War was too heavy for kids or that kids wouldn't care about it or understand it.
I know exactly how it got into production. Some executive walked in, looked at the first 10, 15 storyboards and was like, yeah, that looks like a typical Christmas special. We could go with that.
That's true. Like you said, they start off pretty typical and then it gets deeper. But thankfully, one executive ended up taking a copy of that half-finished episode home and showed it to her young son. And his positive reaction to it and his curiosity of wanting to know more about the Vietnam War based on that episode helped to change her mind. And so they ended up being able to make the full episode, which is awesome because, yeah, you don't see stuff of this depth and handling reality this way for kids very often, I don't think.
No, And so do you think now's like a good time to actually outline what this special's about? Because I think some people might be going like, wait, I thought it was a Christmas special. We're talking about the Vietnam War.
Well, you know what? Let's wait and get into it later. Let's just pique people's interest right now and they can be intrigued to hear more. Or pause the podcast and go find the episode for yourself and watch it because it is worth seeing.
Mm-hmm. That's why we're talking about it.
So next, we just want to quickly address anything that Christians might object to in this special. The main thing that I could think of was that if you're one of those Christians who is upset if there's a Christmas special that doesn't directly say that Christmas is all about the birth of Jesus, then you're going to have a problem with this episode.
Yeah.
There's several quotes at different points of the episode where people say, oh, this is what Christmas is really all about. And of course, none of them say it's really all about Jesus. This is an episode that aired on national TV in the 90s. That just wasn't happening. But what's interesting is that miracles are mentioned a lot in this episode. Angels are mentioned a lot. And I think in general, there's a spirit to this episode about loving others, giving unselfishly, giving sacrificially. Those are all big themes in this episode. And I think they're things that as Christians, we should be able to look at a show like this and say, that's awesome that they are highlighting these things at Christmas time.
Right. And because this is a secular TV show, for lack of a better word, you know, realistic expectations in check, I know they're not going to touch on the birth of Christ. They just aren't going to do that. But, you know, they pretty much touch on the Christianity element of Christmas in so many other ways.
Yeah, exactly. I agree. So I think that's the only objection that you could have, and hopefully you can overcome it.
I mean, I guess you could technically object to how surprisingly dark it is for the second half.
Yeah, if maybe you don't want your kids to know about the Vietnam War yet.
Yeah, but the thing is, they tell it in a way where I think most five-year-olds even get it.
Yeah, it is. I don't know if dark is the right word, but it brings in some mature subject matter, but in a way that I think is fairly easy for kids to grasp.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I agree.
And there is a happy ending. Spoiler alert. There is a happy ending. So I think the kids will be okay.
Right. Well, that's the Don Bluth thinking that kids can handle whatever dark things you throw at them as long as there's a happy ending.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So next, we're going to talk about a theme Bible verse for this episode. And for myself, I went through a few different possibilities. I was thinking, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, from Luke 6:31. Love your neighbor as yourself, which is obviously several different verses in the Bible. But the one that I ended up on was Philippians 2:3-4. So let me read that. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. So I think as we'll see, we get kind of a picture of doing things out of self-ambition and conceit in Helga.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get that esteeming others better than yourself and looking out for the interests of other people in Arnold. And we'll see what happens at the end, too. Yep. Did you have any Bible verses that you thought of?
That's a good one. I mean, Galatians 6:2, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. That's another good one for an episode like this.
Mm-hmm. All right, so let's get into talking about the actual episode and what happens in this Christmas special. So it starts out feeling like a very typical Christmas special, like you said. We see kids leaving school on the last day of school before winter break, and they're all talking about Christmas and gifts and all of that stuff. But we get this contrast between two very different ways of viewing Christmas, which is focusing on yourself versus focusing on others. And so the first way is represented by Helga, who says that Christmas is all about getting as many presents as you can.
And the best presents.
And the best presents, yeah. Quoting her, shopping like a barbarian and getting yours before the other guy gets his.
Yep. And the gifts she wants are the Nancy Spumoni snow boots, which everyone wants. I guess that was like the Gucci for the Hey Arnold or
something. That's the hot Christmas present for this year. Nancy Spumoni snow boots. Mm-hmm. And then we get Arnold's point of view about Christmas. And Arnold is talking to Gerald about how he's gotten everyone in his family ties for gifts. And he's trying to tell him, you know, you need to get them each something that they actually would want, because Christmas is about showing the people you're close to that you really care about them.
Yeah. And that comes up actually later on as well.
Mm-hmm. And so as we talked about earlier, Helga's whole thing is she kind of has this hate relationship with Arnold. She makes fun of him and bullies him, but secretly she is in love with him and also kind of admires him. Like she says, she admires his brave, if misguided, concern for those less fortunate. So she thinks he's stupid to care about other people, but she also kind of admires that quality in him.
You know, there's a lot of people who kind of feel that way. Like, I mean, I think you see it on social media a lot where people like say, oh, that poor idealistic soul, wait till like reality hits you. I mean, I admire that you think that way.
Yeah.
You know, you see that a lot.
Yeah, I know what you mean. But Helga does want to get, you know, even though she's focused on getting and getting and getting, there is one person that she wants to get a gift for. And of course, that is Arnold. But her reasons for wanting to get him a gift is, of course, still entirely selfish, because she wants to get him something huge and amazing and impressive so that, to quote her, I will make him pine for me the way I pine for him through this gift.
So basically, she's trying to get him a gift that will net her something in return.
Exactly. Yeah. She wants to get something that will make him love her.
Yeah. So that's not so much a gift as it is an investment.
I guess that's one way to look at it. So back at the boarding house, they're doing a Secret Santa drawing, and Arnold gets Mr. Nguyen, which is a Vietnamese man who lives in the house, and they're talking about it afterwards, and Gerald says, you know, just get him a tie, which is probably the easy type of thing that most people would do if you get someone for Secret Santa who you don't really know that well. You know, just get them something very surface level that doesn't really mean anything.
Yeah. You hear a comment like that, and I think of that scene in The Grinch where Jim Carrey goes like, do you know how many neckties get thrown away? I can't help myself with the number of neckties that get thrown away.
Yeah. But Arnold is a really empathetic character, and he has noticed that Mr. Nguyen seems depressed at this time of year, and he wants to get a special gift that will cheer him up, which is, again, kind of an idealistic. I mean, Arnold is supposed to be a 9-year-old child, right? So that makes sense.
Right. Yeah. He thinks that there's got to be something I can go get and it will just not make the holiday depressing.
Right.
You know, that's not always the case, obviously.
Sure. But it's a sweet thought, especially from a kid. Mm-hmm. So he goes to talk to Mr. Nguyen. And as they're talking, Mr. Nguyen brings up his past and that he has some bad memories in his past and that it's complicated. You kind of get the idea that he's expecting Arnold as a child, especially, to just, okay, well, I don't want to hear about that. But instead, Arnold says, I'd like to hear it. Please tell me. And I thought that was a really great picture of when people have burdens. You brought up Galatians 6:2 before, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. if someone has something that they need to talk about or unburden themselves from, just being willing to listen can mean so much.
Yeah. And you know, it's interesting. A lot of people actually joke about this little brief scene before the episode hits them over the head and makes them feel guilty.
Oh, really?
Because they joke like, this guy thought that a 9-year-old would be an appropriate person to tell this story to. And I mean, at first I kind of laugh, but then it's like, but there's probably something deeper there. I wonder if no one else in the building ever bothered to ask him about his life.
Yeah, it might be that that 9-year-old is the first person to listen.
Right. And he's so touched, of course, he's going to tell. I mean, because the other guys, you know, when it's like, oh, get him a necktie, it's like clearly they don't know anything about him.
Mm-hmm. So he ends up telling this story and they tread pretty lightly, but if you know, you know, because they don't ever directly say this is Vietnam or this is the Vietnam War. He just says that he lived in another country far away and that there was a war going on in the country. So he has a little daughter named Mai, and because of her, he wants to get out of this war-torn country and get to safety and make a better life for her somewhere else. And then we see, you know, that iconic image from the fall of Saigon of the helicopter evacuating from the roof and all of these people trying to get onto the helicopter. And the soldiers tell them that there's only room for one more person. So he says it was the most difficult decision of my life, but I had to do the best thing for Mai. And what a picture of sacrificial love as he hands his daughter off to the soldiers in the helicopter and allows them to fly away because that's the only way for him to save her, even though he will be left behind and separated from her. And as a parent, the thought of that is devastating. So this is when I can say it does get kind of dark.
Right. And then when he mentions that it took 20 years to get out of the country, it's like, well, shoot, she was a baby. She probably doesn't remember him. So,
yeah. And so he specifically came to that city to live because the soldier had called out the name of that city as he was flying away. And so he's hoping that his daughter is here and he's been looking for her, but he hasn't found her yet. But he says, I will never stop trying. I would give anything to see her again, to know that she is happy.
Yeah. I don't know how many kids that hits, but that would definitely hit an adult.
Oh, yeah. I think it's probably got to hit kids, too. But yeah, it's a really powerful scene that they play out there.
Yeah, this is the point where I think most people watching the special for the first time would probably go like, okay, what age group is this show geared?
What just happened?
Maybe they justified it because it was a primetime special.
Yeah, there you go. So most people would hear that sad story and they would hopefully offer their condolences and try to comfort Mr. Nguyen, but then they would move on with their lives. But Arnold wants to do something. He doesn't want to just say something. He wants to actually take action and try to make things right, which again, very idealistic, sweet 9-year-old thought. Thankfully, this is TV.
Yeah, I mean, he's not taking into account that there's a adult here who's probably gone through a lot of the processes to try to find his kid, and it's just really that difficult.
Yeah. So he's talking to Gerald about what he wants to do, and Gerald says it would take a miracle to find her. So again, we start having this talk about miracles throughout this episode. And Arnold says, maybe, but what better time for a miracle than Christmas? Isn't that what Christmas is really about?
This is actually the closest the episode gets to acknowledging the Christ aspect.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. Like, if you're looking for it to be acknowledging that Christmas is about Christ, I think that's a pretty strong allusion to that fact without directly saying it.
Right. Because they actually call it a miracle, not just a Christmas miracle.
Yeah. So they go to this federal office of information and everyone's having a Christmas party, but they find one guy who's still working and he says that he will help them find Mai if they do his Christmas shopping for him because he hasn't done any of his Christmas shopping. This guy is obviously a workaholic.
Well, and also we should mention the year this episode aired was the first year Amazon came into existence and all they sold was books. So it's not even like online shopping was that big of a thing.
That's important context for today's generation, because it's like, well, why didn't he just go online and buy everything?
Yeah, no, online shopping existed, but it was not the thing it was today. That was the year when it's like, oh, I bought this book on Amazon. They're like, so you put your credit card number in there? Isn't that dangerous?
Are you crazy?
Yes. So I wanted to point that out for anyone saying like, well, that's a hole in the story, because it's not.
No, it was a different world for sure.
Yeah. In fact, I'm just going to say one more thing just to further context it. Helga's father, what he does in the show is he is the owner of Big Bob's Beeper Emporium. So I hope his business pivoted after a few years, or else he's out of business.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. That's funny. So 1996, 1997-ish, this was...
Yeah, this was a while ago, folks.
This was a long time ago, longer than I want to admit.
This was the year that Space Jam website went online, and it's still online, so you can see what websites look like back then.
All right. So the really unbelievable thing about this is that this man hands these kids his Christmas list and a big wad of cash to go out and buy these presents for
him. Yeah, okay, that would never happen. I don't care what time period it is.
Right. So they go out to buy the gifts. They run into Helga, and Helga at the time has found what she thinks is going to be the perfect gift to blow Arnold's socks off, which is some fancy expensive video game. And she says, "This truly must be the meaning of Christmas."
Yep, thinking materialistic again.
Yep. So she shows it off to Arnold and Gerald, wanting to see their reaction so that she knows that they're going to be impressed when Arnold opens it up on Christmas. And they're just kind of, eh. You know, Gerald says, "It's just an expensive, flashy gift, but it's not personal." And so they kind of take all the wind out of her sails, rightly so.
Well, and it also like reshapes how she thinks about gift giving in that moment.
Yeah.
I mean, she doesn't have her epiphany. It's more like a, well, my philosophy was just shattered and I don't know what to do now.
Yeah. It's not about impressing people. It's about showing them that you care about them and that you know them.
Mm-hmm.
So Arnold and Gerald got everything on the list except for...
the Nancy Spumoni snow boots.
Yeah, when we brought up those Nancy Spumoni snow boots at the beginning of the episode, did you know that they were Chekhov's Nancy Spumoni snow boots?
Yeah. By the way, I want to mention just what jerks the realtor people.
Thought it was hilarious.
That's probably the funniest moment in the thing. And the thing is, it probably wasn't too far off from the truth, because I remember when I worked at Target, people laughing at customers when they asked for a PlayStation 3.
Yeah.
And they would just laugh at their face. Like, don't you know this is the hottest thing in the world and it's impossible to find? Like, come back in May.
Yeah. Well, and again, this was back in the days when you had to physically go to the store to find those hot gifts and people were fighting over them. And
I remember the Tickle Me Elmo days.
Oh.
And in all fairness, online shopping hasn't really alleviated this problem either. It just made the disappointment even greater that you can't get it anywhere.
So Arnold and Gerald cannot find the Nancy Spumoni snow boots anywhere. And they go back to the Office of Information. And because they weren't able to get everything on the list, the worker guy refuses to help them. What a jerk.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, dude, they got you 95%.
So Arnold and Gerald walk outside, and Arnold is really dejected, and he says he feels like he screwed up, even though it's not his fault, obviously. But he says that he needed a miracle, and he just couldn't get one. And this is where Gerald shines in this episode, I think. Sometimes your friends are kicking themselves and they shouldn't be.
Right.
And he says, "Hey, Arnold, you tried harder than anyone else I know. And the stuff that you did to try to make this work for Mr. Nguyen was way more important than a bunch of presents. And that's what Christmas is all about." Again, we got the "that's what Christmas is all about."
Yeah. And Arnold's response is basically, "Yeah, fat lot of good that did."
Yeah. I mean, he's still disappointed, understandably, yeah. But I think Gerald is such a great friend there. And, you know, that goes back to that bearing one another's burdens thing, too. I think Gerald is trying to help his friend fulfill this fantasy of finding this missing girl. And when it doesn't work out and his friend is disappointed, he's trying to cheer him up. So great friend there.
Yeah, it'd be nice if everyone had a friend like Gerald growing up.
Yeah, too true. And Helga overhears all of this. She overhears them talking about how they needed those Nancy Spumoni snow boots. And if they could have gotten them, then they could have found Mr. Wynn's daughter. And so she goes home and she's depressed because she hasn't been able to find the perfect gift for Arnold.
And let's pause for a second to kind of highlight that this shows that she does have genuine care for Arnold. She's disappointed that he's sad.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you see moments like this throughout the show, even in the first season. But if you're just watching this episode, that's like a nice little insight that her talk about loving Arnold is not just surface level.
Yeah, you're starting to see her humanity, that she really does care about him, even if she doesn't really know how to show it in healthy ways yet, maybe. So to cheer her up, her parents give her one of her Christmas gifts.
By the way, I'm going to make a comment on this one before we go on, just because I have watched the show. Her parents would not do this to cheer her up. Just to let you know that, hey, Arnold fans point out, like, boy, her parents are actually kind of being nice to her. And it's like, yeah, that kind of technically is a flaw in this episode. One of the unfortunate things is, like, they would not be this nice to her in the actual show, but I understand why they're doing it for the purpose of this episode.
Well, maybe they were just trying to get her to smile or be pleasant.
Yeah, like I said, when you watch the whole show, you'd understand why this is so out of character for them.
Yeah. So, lo and behold, the gift is the coveted Nancy Spumoni snow boots.
Yep. It's like, how convenient, right?
Yeah. And you see it coming, but it's still, I mean, it's beautiful.
Well, in all fairness, the way they handle it in the very next scene, what they do with that predictable twist, they do something kind of unpredictable with it.
Yeah, I really like that even though we as the audience have figured out how this is going to go, Helga doesn't right away go, oh, now I can give these boots away to get this thing for Arnold that he wants.
Most Christmas specials would do that. They wouldn't even have it be like a second thought, but she puts the boots on, she runs around, she's happy, and then it dawns on her that this is what she can do to help Arnold. And then she has like a fight with herself, basically.
Yeah.
Not because she's selfish, but because she genuinely wanted this.
Yeah.
And actually, knowing her parents are never going to be this nice to her ever again.
And I think kids can really relate to this moment because, well, I mean, let's be honest, kids and adults, we're all inherently selfish. Like, I want this gift. I wanted this gift so much. I'm going to keep it for myself. It's easy to say, yes, of course I would give the boots away.
Yeah.
But, you know, she says, I wanted these more than anything. And I think eventually she realizes she wanted them more than anything except for one thing, which was to make Arnold happy, which is great. But it takes her some reflection to get to that point.
Yeah, she's even weighing out the pros and cons.
Yeah. I like when she says, not another moral dilemma. And like, she must have those all the time. She says, I'm happy and that's really all that matters, right? Like she's trying to convince herself that her philosophy really is that she only cares about herself. And we're seeing that that's not actually the case. And then she says, what's the right thing to do? And of course, we know what the right thing to do is. Mm-hmm. But I love that they are showing that it's not always easy to do the right thing. And it's not always easy to put others before ourselves. There's a quick scene before we see what her decision is, where we see Arnold laying in his bed and he's picturing that helicopter flying away from Mr. Wynn with his daughter in it. And again, just a really good picture of empathy. It's really well done. So next we see Helga. She has arrived at the Office of Information and the worker guy is exiting the office and he's finally going home to his family, but she stops him and she tells him that Christmas is about showing people you really care about them. So she has come full circle to Arnold's point of view about Christmas now.
Yeah, and I mean, interestingly, the guy at first, and this is why this guy is such a jerk. He finally gets what he wants. It's only going to cost him a little bit more time. And he doesn't, I don't even think it's like occurring to him that someone is giving him the gift they received. He just doesn't care.
Yeah, he just kind of blows her off.
Yeah.
But he's hailing a cab or whatever to go home and she...
Yeah, again, no Uber, folks.
Pre-Uber days, but different world for sure. She says that if they don't do this, if they don't find Mai, then Arnold will never believe in miracles again.
Wasn't that like a powerful little speech she gave?
Yeah. And it's so interesting. Like, she really genuinely cares about Arnold's faith and his good heart, even though she personally thinks that his worldview is unrealistic. She admires it and she wants to keep it intact.
Well, that's what she loves about him. She loves that he's a good person, and the thought of him maybe not being so loving because things didn't work. Not even like it didn't work out for him. It didn't work out for Mr. Nguyen.
Mm-hmm.
But she's just so disturbed that he might become a different person if this doesn't come out. That's what makes us like all the more powerful, because it's like, boy, she actually loves him in the right way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is showing that, yeah, all her talk about I want to impress him and things like that, which seems very transactional. She really does love him in the way you're supposed to love someone and for the reasons you're supposed to love someone.
Yeah, or at least I think she's coming around to that. And I think it's an interesting picture, too, of how us living out our faith and doing good works and all of that can affect people who maybe don't have that same worldview as us, but that they can look at that and see that there is value in it and maybe be inspired to want to see things that way.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
So back at the boarding house, they're having the Christmas party with all of the residents, and everyone has opened their gifts, except there's no gift for Mr. Nguyen, and he's obviously looking very depressed, not about not getting a gift, but we know why he's depressed.
Yeah. And by the way, before we continue, I bet you had this ended in the other way, I think Mr. Nguyen would have still said that the effort was the greatest gift he received.
Oh, yeah. And I think that's a lesson.
Yeah, there's a lesson there, too.
Sometimes you will try your best to do something and it still won't work out. But if you were trying to do the right thing, that still matters.
I kind of wish, now that we're talking about it, that they had just added that one little moment. I think it would have made this already good special.
Yeah, I think you're right. Because Arnold is about to tell him that he tried and he doesn't get the chance to. And if he had gotten the chance to tell him I tried and then have Mr. Nguyen say, that's okay, you know, it means a lot to me that you tried, I think that would have been meaningful. But I think it's also meaningful that Mr. Nguyen never knows that it was Arnold who did it.
Right. So there was one of two ways this could have gone, and both would have been the correct choice.
Yeah. If only we could have both.
Yes. Yep. Although thankfully, after going down this one path, they do tack something on that you couldn't with the other direction, which I think is what really makes this a special, special.
Yeah. And so there's a knock at the front door. Grandpa goes to answer the door, and we have our happy ending. It is a young lady who walks in, and instantly her father turns around and recognizes her. It is his daughter, Mai. And it's just this beautiful, heartwarming moment that everything has worked out just the way that it should.
And of course, Arnold's confused, like, well, what the heck happened?
What happened? And Gerald tells him, don't try to make sense out of it. It's a miracle.
Like, a miracle's a miracle.
Yeah, which is sometimes the point of view that we need to take. We don't need to always make sense out of things. We just need to thank God for them.
Mm-hmm.
And Gerald also says, maybe it was a Christmas angel working for you. And of course, when he says that, we cut to Helga standing outside of the building, smiling and quietly whispering, Merry Christmas, Arnold. And that is the end of the episode, and it is so satisfying.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, the fact that she was there in the morning, I suspect she spent all night looking to bring her there. And because how else did Mai know where they were? I bet you Helga had a lot to do with that.
That makes sense.
And here's kind of the most amazing thing is, having seen the whole show, like, Arnold finds out about nice things that she ended up doing for him in secret later on down the road, but he never finds out that she did this for him. And I'm personally glad that he never found out, because I mean, he gets to believe in miracles still, yes, but it, and this is why, by the way, Helga's probably the best character in the show. She really learns her lesson, and she is truly happy that he's happy and doesn't need anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, how many times is that the message of a Christmas special? I really can't think of any others, to be honest. Yeah. I'm sure there's at least one, but the fact that it stood out that much showed that this is a lesson we really don't teach our kids very much.
Yeah. she has learned the value of doing good without needing reward or recognition for it. That's a great lesson for kids, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And caring about just doing good for other people.
Honestly, that's a good message for adults these days. Let's not kid ourselves.
Yes, for sure. We're all kids still in a lot of ways.
Yep.
Another verse that I was thinking about, and I think it's a good verse to kind of wrap things up with, is the love verses from 1 Corinthians 13. So verses 4-7, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. Which again, Helga doesn't go in and say, look who I found, look what I did. She's not showing off. She's just doing it out of love, real love. Does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. So I think we see a lot of that in this episode. So again, while this is a secular show and we don't expect it to talk about Christianity or Christ, there's a lot of lessons in here that I think are very compatible with our faith.
Yeah, very.
The other lesson that I think we should take from this is about miracles, because again, miracles come up a lot in this episode. And I was thinking, you know, yes, sometimes God does miracles all on his own that are like supernatural. But I think more often than not, he uses ordinary people to make quote unquote miracles happen in the lives of others, like we see happening here with Arnold trying to help Mr. Wynn find his daughter, and then Helga trying to help Arnold, trying to help Mr. Wynn find his daughter. And we're called to be the body of Christ. We're supposed to be his hands and feet. We are supposed to be the ones doing miracles in other people's lives, whether that's going to a food bank and helping feed hungry people, or giving gifts to families at Christmas that don't have the money to buy their own gifts. I mean, there's so many ways that we can get out there and just be that miracle for other people.
And with that point, this is actually now making me reflect upon Helga's parents giving Helga an actual nice gift, which they wouldn't do normally in later seasons. And it's like, oh, so in a way, that was also a little bit of a miracle that they would actually that they would actually be that nice to her to make this all come together. So
yeah, in some ways, even with the human elements of it, there's still a miraculous series of events that happens to make all of this come together.
Right.
Helga has to get that gift that almost no one could find, and she has to run into Arnold and Gerald and hear what the problem is that they need solved, and Arnold has to draw Mr. Wynn's name from the jar at the Secret Santa.
Yep, and if just one thing had gone a little differently, then Mr. Wynn's past is never revealed.
Yeah.
Because you know the other tenants wouldn't bother to ask him why he always seems sad during the holidays. I'm actually kind of surprised no one bothered to ask, because Arnold's grandparents are actually pretty nice and compassionate.
Yeah. Sometimes kids are the ones that see things that adults don't.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's Arnold's Christmas. And again, it's really worth seeing. So there's several ways to do that. I watched it on Amazon. I think it's in season 2, episode 7 on Amazon. You said it's on Paramount, right?
Yeah, Paramount Plus. And Paramount Plus, I think, listed it as season 1, episode 24.
Yeah, from what I read, that was around when it aired. I don't know why Amazon has it in season 2, but they do. And I'm sure you can also buy box sets of Hey Arnold on Amazon.
Yeah, well, they actually have a complete DVD series. Set that has the whole series and both the movies.
Well, there you go.
One package, which I own that because it's one of those shows that it's like I always want to have it available to watch just in case.
Yeah, so thankfully we live in the year 2025. So if you want to buy Hey Arnold, you can go online and do it. You don't have to go to the stores and get laughed at by the retail workers.
Well, especially now, because even places like Best Buy don't even sell DVDs. Yeah. So,
so then they would laugh at you.
Then they'd laugh at you like, haven't you learned about streaming?
What year is it? We've gone full circle. Kevin, thank you again for being my guest. It's been an awesome conversation, and I'm really glad that you introduced me to this episode of Hey Arnold, or this Christmas special of Hey Arnold, however you want to look at it. I really enjoyed it, and I'm glad that I have seen it now, and I hope that other people will check it out.
I guess here's a million-dollar question. In your mind, do you need to have seen any Hey Arnold before watching the special to appreciate it?
I think it's helpful to know the basics that we went over at the beginning of the episode, like who Arnold is, who Helga is, what's the living situation for Arnold. I think those basics are helpful, but otherwise, you know.
But it does a pretty good job of investing you on its own.
Yeah, it does. Like, I've only seen a few episodes before I watched this one, and it definitely reeled me in.
All right. Well, I'm glad I was able to recommend it. For any listeners, like, you know, I know you're not privy to the conversation, but like, I know her well enough that when I said, oh, here's the episode we can talk about, and her response is basically, okay. I can almost hear like the enthusiasm draining through the text message and her going like, I've just made a mistake.
Well, you're not wrong, but I trust your judgment and it paid off. So thank you.
So be sure to check out Kevin's work at www.icritic.net and his channel on YouTube, which I will, of course, link to in the show notes. He's been doing a series of videos this year on the history of the Best Animated Feature category at the Academy Awards that I've been particularly enjoying. So definitely go give his videos a watch. Thank you, as always, for listening, and I hope you enjoyed this episode of Tune My Heart. If you did, please make sure that you're following the podcast on Apple or Spotify or wherever you're listening so that you'll be notified about future episodes. And please hit that 5-star rating or maybe even leave a review, as that will help other people to discover the show. And since this is the season of giving, I do want to mention also that if you're interested in donating to the show, there is a donate button at the top of the page at tunemyheart.com that will take you to my Buy Me a Coffee page. And I'll also link to that in the show notes. That's a secure page where you can make a donation of any amount. You can also support the show monetarily by purchasing from my TeePublic store. I've got quite a few designs up there now that I've made based on previous episodes, and you can get those on shirts, stickers, magnets, and more. And a percentage of those sales come back to me. So I will link to that shop page in the show notes as well if you'd like to check those out. This is an independent podcast, meaning it's just me, myself, and I doing all of the editing, marketing, and other work that it takes to put it together. And podcasting does come with some expenses. So donations or purchases are greatly appreciated if you're so inclined. But please don't feel obligated in any way. Above all, I am just happy and truly honored to have you listening and enjoying the show. There will be one more Forgotten Christmas Specials episode, but it won't be coming out until sometime after December 25th. So I'll go ahead now and wish you all a very Merry Christmas. Until next time, never stop believing in miracles.
Clark Harold, really? No one asked you to sing.
You're going to have to leave that in.